Volleyball season is here. Welcome in, everyone, to a fresh Chi State Pod. Sam Brief with you from Chicago and getting ready to hit the court. Chicago State Volleyball kicks off the third season of the Tony Trifonov era tomorrow when they head to Bloomington to face Jacksonville State and then Indiana and then Indiana State in the season-opening Indiana Invitational. And if you know Chicago State volleyball, you know that this is the most prolific team on campus, coming off the best season in program history, 17 wins, Coach of the Year Award, All-American, Conference Player of the Year Award. This team is loaded, retooled, and ready to let it rip for a unique 2022 season. So, who better to catch up with than the head coach himself in his 25th season as a college volleyball coach, Tony Trifonov. And before we go to Coach Trifonov, a reminder that our partners at BSN Sports are the largest providers of team sports equipment and apparel in the country, and they'd like to thank all the coaches out there who truly are the heart of the game. While BSN Sports is the best at equipping athletes, coaches are the best at equipping lives, and that's the real final score. Learn more about how BSN Sports can save you time off the field by giving you more time to impact lives on it. Call your local BSN Sports sales pro or visit bsnsports.com today. And now, Coach Trifonov. And now welcoming in for his second appearance on the Chi State Pod, Chicago State head volleyball coach, Tony Trifonov. What's up, Coach?
Good to see you, Sam.
Your 25th year as a head coach, does that make you feel old?
A little bit. Just a little, though. I mean, I got a long way to go still.
It's only your third year at Chicago State. So from these two eyes, you're only a three-year-old. And coach, you're coming off of year two that was the best season in program history. 17 D1 wins. You go to the postseason. You win Conference Coach of the Year. You coach an All-American who also won Conference Player of the Year. What will you remember most fondly about last year when you look back on it, let's say 25 years from now?
Well, it's my third season, not my third year. It's my second year in Chicago, so it time goes by fast. But yeah, I mean, we had a pretty good season. You know, like obviously not my best in my career, but like one of the best in Chicago State, or the best in Chicago State history. And you know, I mean, making postseason was great for the institution and for the program moving forward. Having an All-American, of course, you know, like, I mean, a great recognition for the body of work that the whole team did. Because, you know, like, I mean, it's a team sport. You don't become an All-American by yourself. Your teammates, you have to have the teammates help. So the 17th and finishing third in the regular season is great. You know, like, our conference was loaded with talent. The seventh seed overall won the tournament. I mean, that's to tell you how competitive that was. And a little bit disappointed that we couldn't pass the first round of the conference tournament. You know, like, we lost in five, a really tough match with Stephen F. Austin. I gave up a lot of aces. That's probably what's sticking up in my mind right now. You know, like, if we had just served and passed a little bit better, we probably would have make a run at the WAC tournament. And, you know, like, I mean, who knows? But then again, Utah Valley played great at the end of the season, and they deserve to go to the NCAA tournament. So a little disappointed that we didn't make the big 64 team NCAA tournament. Grateful that we were selected as a participant in the NIVC.
You said serve and pass is what held you back from beating Stephen F. Austin in what was really a classic five-set match. I heard you say that a lot last season, serve and pass. Tell me why that's so important to your team.
Well, I mean, if you're aggressive with the serve, you're able to take the other team out of the other system, and, you know, like, and you can defend them a little bit better. And if you pass well, then and you stay in system, then it's more difficult for the other team to defend. So serve and pass has always been a key in volleyball since the invention of the sport. And, you know, like, I mean, it's true today. It always, you know, like, it doesn't matter the hitting percentages. It doesn't matter, you know, like, what else you do. It always comes to serve and pass. It's the first contact with the ball. So it determines, like, how the rally is going to go and who's going to score a point.
I was with you at practice the other day, and you seemed really pleased with your team. Like, not 100% unconditional, but I'm sort of used to you being like, oh, Sam, we got to work on this. We got to work on this. And you looked at me the other day and said, Sam, we're good. Like, we're better than last year. We're so far ahead of where we were. And you mentioned serve and pass as among those things that have improved. So let's hear how your team already is looking better in that department.
Well, we worked a lot in spring on passing, and everybody that is returning has improved tremendously in that aspect. And then, you know, like adding a really quick setter helps a lot as well. So she can get to, you know, like, I mean, Yoon Julie can get to a lot of balls. And Austina couldn't get to last year. So, like, I mean, that helps tremendously as well with the pace that we wanted to play. We're bigger in size a little bit. I mean, and you know, it's still a work in progress that early in the season. We're still going through NCAA certification and some other things, you know, like, so we don't have everybody ready to go just yet. But, you know, like, hopefully by tomorrow, like, we'll be all set and we'll be ready to compete this weekend.
You mentioned Julie Lee as your new setter who has added a lot of pace. Now, it's interesting because you've got Julie Lee and Jack Inclon. You have told me at times you're going to play a 6-2, which means two setters on the court at the same time. And sometimes it'll be a 5-1 where you only have one setter. So Chicago State volleyball fans know Jack Inclon. She's going to be back this year. What should they know about Julie Lee?
Well, Julie Lee was a player that we recruited when I was actually still at Seward County. And, you know, like, I mean, she was a really, really good player back then. And she had a set, she was announced as a NJCAA player of the week in the beginning of the season there. And then she had like a season ending injury that set her back a while. Then she transferred to Florida Southwest, helped them get their best finish in the NJCAA tournament. And a very intelligent kid, volleyball-wise, like really high volleyball IQ, understands the game, moves the ball around. He's really connected with our players in practice. You can see that connection developing and improving with every single hour that passes at practice. So, like, we're pleased to have her and definitely gives us depth at the setting position.
Biggest difference between your two setters is what?
That's a tough one. Biggest difference. I think that they're different in style of setting and touch of the ball. Probably that would be the location is a little bit more accurate with Julie. Jack is a little bit more athletic and physical. So, you know, like, I think, yeah, that not a whole lot of difference, but, you know, like some, and then decision-making, of course, I mean, each setter is different. So as we go competing, we will find out more about the two of them this year.
It's sort of funny because when we started this journey together, Coach, you and I joined Chicago State at the same time. You had a major problem on your hands in that you had no setter. And you sat down with me and you said, Sam, this is like not having a quarterback. And you had to take someone who was a lifelong defensive specialist, put her in the setter position, and all the credit to her for stepping up to the plate and, you know, taking a new role. But that's really hard to do. You had no setter and sort of struggled through that first season as a result. Now you've got two high-level setters, so it seems you got a good problem on your hands.
Well, you know, like, it's very, very true. It was really tough going for even though it was a short season, it was a COVID season. We didn't play a whole lot of matches, but, you know, like, Grace did a great job for us that first year, and we won a playoff game, I mean, which never happened. So, like, let's see what we do this year that it hadn't been done before. I mean, you know, like, first year we won a playoff game that and made the WAC tournament. That never happened. Second year, you know, like, we had a player of the year, All-American, postseason, 17 wins. That never has been done. So, like, we'll hopefully give a surprise like this to our fans this year as well. A pleasant one.
And, Coach, I can't keep talking setters and go on the podcast without mentioning Yanlis Felis, because there's no doubt she was the key to this team last year. The first AVCA All-American in Chicago State history, the WAC, player of the year. She was absolutely incredible. Over 400 kills. She put on a show every single night. What's better about her in 2022?
Oh, she's more mature, for sure. And a better leader. More patience. It's a virtue, like they say. And she's a lot more patient now. And her ball control keeps improving. I mean, I don't know if people remember or didn't know that, like, we switched her position from her previous school to here, from Seward to here. She started as an opposite. And now she is developing into really, really one of the best left sides in the country, which we're very pleased with.
Explain to casual volleyball fans the biggest challenge of switching from opposite to that left side.
Well, opposite, you have a lot less responsibilities, and a lot of the opposites, in college volleyball don't play back row. They certainly don't serve receive, and they have to worry just about blocking, hitting, transition. But the majority of the sets in college volleyball, even at the high level, still go to left sides. It's a lot easier position to play in terms of responsibility and what you do on the court. And then left side, it's do it all. So that would be probably the biggest difference that I can point out.
She's a grinder. And what's something that you would want Cougar volleyball fans to know about Yanlis that has nothing to do with volleyball off the court? Because I know you know her well.
Well, she's really funny and quirky and a great personality. And, lights up a room wherever she goes. So that's probably one thing that I would immediately say about her, other than volleyball.
Yeah, Yanlis is one of those people who, when you see her from like 100 feet away, you see the smile, and then like you're approaching from 100 feet away. And sometimes with the wrong person, that can be an awkward walk, right? When you make the eye contact and then get closer and closer. With Yanlis, it's delightful because her smile lights up a room. She's awesome. But then obviously once she's between the lines, it is all business with Yanlis Felis. Hey, Coach, I want to hear about some more of your newcomers. Let's start with Julieta Sandez, who 6'4". You already alluded to the height you have in the middle now. What has she already shown you that she'll provide your team?
Well, our blocking would be a lot better. Volleyball-wise, it gives us like an additional offensive weapon. She runs slides really well. She's only a freshman. She's really, really young and has a lot of room for and ceiling to grow. But it definitely gives us a really, really much needed size in the middle.
With her coming to the middle, you've been able to move Berenice Almeida to the opposite side, which is a position that you think due to her height, maybe she's a little better suited for. How has she taken to that transition from the middle to the outside?
Oh, she's lit the gym. I knew that eventually her position is going to be one of the outside positions, whether it's going to be a left side or an opposite. But we didn't expect her physicality and her timing to improve so quickly. And, her back row is surprising us all. She hits really, really a heavy ball. Blocking wise, she's a lot more effective because there's not like a whole lot of lateral movement. And like you said, with the size, she's better suited for that position. So really, really pleasantly surprised with development that she's, that we noticed in the short weeks, a couple of weeks that we've been training. It's still 17 days total of practice before we compete, nearly not enough. Hopefully NCAA at some point is going to change that rule and give us a little bit more time to prepare, like football and basketball, they're able to work with their kids in the summer. This is like a big ongoing debate right now nationally, but 17 days is a very short period of time to get a team ready to play. And for Berenice to step up in like just 2 short weeks and completely change position and be ready to go, it's just remarkable for the athlete that she is.
Yeah, it really is. She's always been one of my favorite players to watch, brings the energy, and now she'll do it from the outside. And Coach, with your schedule, of course, it's very unique in that you're playing almost all of your matches on the road this year. You're going to log thousands of miles. You've got the Windy City Invitational here in Chicago, but then you're on the road for the rest of the season? What's the biggest challenge? And what's the potential biggest silver lining of being a road warrior team all on the road?
Well, it's going to be difficult. I mean, and even in a regular season when you have half the games home, half on the road, it's still difficult. And there's a lot of wear and tear on your body from all the travel, all the grind, all the competition. People forget that those kids are students as well. So they're going to miss a lot of class. They're going to be busy making up a lot of work. So that's going to be the downside of being on the road that much. And then again, it takes a physical toll on you. So we'll see how we'll respond by the end of the season. We have 22 total dates, and out of the maximum 28, which most teams are playing now. So it's a little bit shorter, you know, of a season. And we didn't want to, I mean, we could probably have picked up, five or six more matches, but it would have been too much for those kids to handle with all the technicalities that they have to deal with. So it's a challenging schedule. And obviously, you know, like, I mean, at home, our fans want to see us, and especially if you have a good product that they can get excited about. So like, we won't have that opportunity. Senior night is going to be tough. We're going to have to figure out what we're going to do. Obviously, we're not going to do it in week two of the season. So that's also a challenge that we're going to have to figure out. But we have a lot of competitive teams, a lot of teams from different conferences. Is going to give us a pretty good experience overall of our student athletes. We're going to go to some great campuses and play some great volleyball. So and if we win more than 50% of our games, we will still have an opportunity to be selected as an at-large, whether NCAA tournament or NIBC. So this would be the goal. Not having a tournament at the end of the season to make up for like some early season mishaps, it's going to be definitely a challenge. That makes every match just about a playoff match, because we know that if we drop some early matches, that would affect our chances for postseason, and we won't have an opportunity to make it up at a conference tournament. But it's like that with a lot of the big conferences, the Power Fives right now. I mean, Big Ten doesn't have a conference tournament. ACC doesn't have a conference tournament. SEC doesn't have a conference tournament. Big 12 doesn't have a conference tournament. So it's all about the regular season and what you do. Although their regular season still makes it to the regular season champion makes it to the tournament, and they still have a little bit of time before they start playing conference games, which are the only ones that count. So, you know, like, I mean, it's going to be interesting. First for my career, definitely. I don't think it's happened a lot. It's unprecedented. So we need to make the best of it.
You make the best of it. It's really interesting what you say about every match is a playoff match. It's like, okay, you don't have a conference tournament. Bam. Well, tomorrow starts your season long conference tournament, and you've got very little margin for error, but a great group and a group that seems off the court to have really good vibes early in the season. What have you noticed about this team and what the vibe around them is like, Coach?
Well, and you know, like, we were trying to, and up until now, we're still working on changing the culture of our volleyball team. Chemistry is great with those kids. We have a great bunch of kids that get along with each other well. They're very competitive, and they're having fun when they're playing. So, you know, like, that's the most important thing. After all, you know, like, it's a game. It's an entertainment. And, you know, like, you have to have fun when you're playing. And this is something that I've noticed so far about this team. Hopefully this trend will continue. They're very positive and they're hard workers, which is like that's the only thing that you can ask for a kid, to work hard and be positive. And we're lucky to have like all those kids. Looking forward to see them in competition and see how they react to adversity.
Last one for you. I've asked you before, but I need a new answer for 2022 because every team is new. Coach, please compare your team to a type of food.
Well, you know, like, I'll steal one from Jack and Glam and say deep dish pizza. You know, like, I got asked that question the other day from the Indiana broadcaster as well, you know. So I guess like that's pretty fitting for our team that we have right now. So she's pretty good about pointing out those little details.
Yeah, when in doubt, I guess listen to Jack Incline. Deep Dish right. Pizza, Chicago State Volleyball, folks, coming off of the best season in program history and ready for more in what's going to be a really unique 2022 journey. Head coach Tony Trifonov entering his 25th season as a college volleyball coach. Coach, an eyebrow raise from you. Thanks for hopping on the pod.
Thank you, Sam. Always a pleasure.
Hey, Sam back here in the studio. Big thanks to Coach as he kicks off his third journey as Chicago State head volleyball coach. This is really going to be a fun team to follow. And I know it's mostly going to be remote from the road. They've got the three home games here in September and then Bon Voyage. They're on the road for quite a while. But I'm telling you, this is a fun team that returns all of its main core of last year's squad, plus adding some of those top newcomers like Julieta Sandez and like Julie Lee. So it'll be exciting to follow them. The vibes are good. And like Coach said, they represent a deep dish pizza. So not bad at all. Anyway, I'm Sam Brief. Always great to have you with us on the Chi State Pod. And a reminder that you can subscribe on Spotify, Apple, Google, TuneIn, wherever you get your podcasts. So big thank you to you for that. And I will talk to you next time on the Chi State Pod. For now, adios from Chicago.